I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
Lewis!
And the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
NFL Roundup. Welcome on in. It's unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Scott Mitchell's that former NFL quarterback. I'm Alex Keery, the other guy. NFL Roundup brought to you by LHM Used Car Supermarket. Over 1,000 used vehicles in inventory. Shop online, LHMUsedCars.com. Scott, during the break, before we get into the NFL news, the University of Utah announcing that their new defensive tackles coach is former University of Utah great, one of your former teammates at the Detroit Lions. Luther Ellis coming back to his alma mater. So
yeah, that's great for Luther. Luther's a great guy. He's
one of the greatest Utes of all time, man.
Amazing human being. Had a really good career in the NFL. I believe has been coaching at Idaho State.
University of Idaho.
Idaho.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Anyways, that'll be real exciting. And it you know, his life experience. So much of coaching is, you know, I don't want to say babysitting, but it's helping a lot of these young men mature in their life. And he's so good at that. He's really good at that. And when you get these guys that, you know, they're away from home for the first time, or they question themselves and struggling and trying to figure life out, and having that presence will be great, not only for those defensive linemen, but really for the whole program. I mean, that's some really good hires by Kyle Whittingham here in the off season, and it'd be fun to see what Luther does. And of course, Devin Kafusi, and him.
I just texted Devin. Yeah, and, I said this is going to be awesome. He goes, can't wait to see what he's got.
Yeah,
cannot wait.
That'll be real exciting.
So. Quinton Ganther at the running backs coach. Luther Ellis coming to coach. I mean, these are guys that when they come back, they've got sideline passes, you know, for life, you know, because they're former greats, you know. To have them on the sideline coaching, that's just an added bonus to be able to have these guys back and to have that kind of, you know, that legacy of these guys on the sideline and to know what they're doing. It's just that's an awesome deal.
I think when you're invested in the program, you know, because you played there and you. It means just a little bit more. It's not just a paycheck for you. It's not just a job. It's part of who you are from a place that kind of developed you as a person. So to come back and to give back and to be a part of that is really cool. And where the program is, you know, it's just fun. Very exciting.
Good times to be a University of Utah alum and fan, because you're signing up all the guys that you know, a lot of these folks grew up watching play. So it's a good deal for Utah. So there you go. Luther Ellis hired as the new defensive tackles coach. Not the defensive line coach, but I mean, what does that mean? They're going to have some DNs.
No, they always do that. They have the end coach and they have the tackles coach.
The interior guy. All right. Yeah. There you go. NFL Roundup. Let's get to some NFL stories here. First of all, we didn't get to talk about it yesterday, but you saw that Mike Mayock was let go as the GM for the Raiders. And that's a tough spot to be in. But I would assume that his firing is just another way to be able to say we've totally divorced ourselves from the former regime, because he was – Mike Mayock, he says all the right things almost always, but he and Coach Gruden were close, and I think that they've had enough problems with some of the draft picks they've had and some of the character issues they've had on that team, I think, always come back. The buck usually stops with the GM on that sense.
Well, John Gruden was fired not because he was a bad coach, right? I mean, he was a good coach, but just kind of, you just in today's culture, he's got to go.
And Mike Mayock was a pretty good GM too,
right? And so clearly, it's like you just want to move in a different direction.
Kind of a culture change,
probably a culture change, and you don't really know how people are in those everyday conversations or how they handle situations or what they do. And Mike Mayock wasn't a guy that had tremendous experience in a front office. He was pretty much an analyst, and so. Not that he wasn't capable. I thought they made some good moves, and it's tough when you have the player situations they have, and that's going to happen anywhere. And it's hard to predict, oh, this is a good person
or how bad
a bad person.
They'll have character issues, but to have them at the level that they did, the Henry Ruggs, alleged DUI that ends up in the death of somebody, like that by itself brings a magnifying glass that even the NFL can't shake.
And he's not the only person that's probably ever gotten a DUI in the NFL and
this season or on this team. Frankly.
And he's not going to be the last one. I mean, it's a real issue, and it could have happened to anyone, and it's just unfortunate for everyone that happened.
So he's onto the next. We'll see what ends up happening with him. Now, Philadelphia's GM says that Jalen Hurts is their quarterback next year. That's always hard. You rolled your eyes just now.
Jalen Hurts will be the quarterback as long as, there's kind of the honeymoon. And it was kind of like, okay, it's
Hey, they got
it's
to the playoffs your thing. This year. Got they got to the blown playoffs. Out, but it was certainly they overperformed.
He struggled, and he wasn't great, and he's got to get a lot better. You look at the trajectory of a guy like Josh Allen, you look at the trajectory of a Patrick Mahomes, and is Jalen Hurts on that trajectory? Is he even on a Kyler Murray project? No, he's not. I mean, he or a Lamar Jackson, I don't know. I'm just telling you, these guys that run a lot, that ultimately got to figure out how to throw
Hurts,
the football.
Hurts made some bad throws in that game, and
you got to be able to throw it.
Troy Aikman said like five times in that game, he goes, and it was just the worst because it was like, yeah, that's a little high and away from your receiver there, and the worst part was when Aikman goes, he's breaking that game down with Joe Buck on Fox, and he goes, yeah, that should actually be a simple throw. That one right there. See this throw right here? That should actually be a simple throw that you don't miss on. And I thought that is the kind of stuff that I think former pros say a lot. They're just like, yeah, there are certain throws that you don't miss on, and you certainly don't miss on them two or three or four throws in a row. And that's the glaringly obvious issue there. But, we're all pretty but at the same time, they won a lot of games for the –
Jalen Hurts has come a long way. When he was at Alabama,
we gave him no shot.
Tua came in for him at Alabama because he couldn't throw.
Right.
And that was really what was going on at Alabama. Tremendous athlete, but just couldn't throw the football. He really improved. I was shocked that he went to Oklahoma because I'm like, how, and they just did wonders with his ability to throw the football. And he really kind of got in a system where it's just like, you're just going to throw the heck out of the football. He was drafted as a response to Taysom Hill, if you remember. They said, yeah, we'll take a shot on this guy because I think he has some unique skill sets that we could kind of incorporate to what we do offensively, kind of like Taysom Hill. So I don't know that he was intended to be the everyday guy for the for the Eagles, but he's just a playmaker. He's a guy that makes things happen. Ultimately in the NFL, though, he's got to be consistent throwing the ball. So he's got a lot of upside. He's made a lot of improvement, but
is that something that, like, I know you're all about, like, well, some guys just usually they have it or they don't, but is that something this offseason he's going to get with the right, personnel and
maybe
and
he goes,
you can change that
talk
kind of
to
stuff?
John Beck, I guess, oh. And that's what people do. He's got to throw the ball better, and he's got to figure out how to do that, and yeah, some guys pick it up. Some guys are able to do it. Steve Young is another example where he wasn't the greatest passer when he got in the NFL, and he figured it out. And he made a Hall of Fame career out of figuring out how to throw a football.
Joe Burrow said something that I know that I was like, ooh, Scott Mitchell's going to love this. Joe Burrow said,
yes.
Yeah, they won the wild card. We won the wild card game. And, yeah, it was our first playoff win in 31 years. But this is the bare minimum for Cincinnati expectations. Like, for their fans, for them, certainly as a team, there's no such thing as being like, we got a playoff win, yay, and then moving on. They've got way higher expectations.
See, I don't think the Bengals will win the championship and beat Kansas City or Buffalo.
Well, they're in a good spot because they're playing the Titans this weekend.
Exactly. So they're a team. They win a game. They win a tough game on the road in the playoffs. That's going to be massively a step forward for them and a confidence builder. And then they go into the championship game and they'll lose. And they'll get there and they'll go, you know what? We can compete here. We get it. We know what we have to do. We know how we have to get better. And Joe Burrow, unlike what we talked about Jalen Hurts, Joe Burrow is a guy that can match up with Josh Allen, can match up with Patrick Mahomes. He has that capability. And so, yeah, I could see the Bengals causing some problems, and because they got some talent. I mean, it's not just Joe Burrow, but they got some talent on that team that really could go places. But you got to have that mindset. You got to believe that, it's just not enough to get here. It's just not enough to show up. It's about winning.
So big one from over the weekend. Of course, I think a lot of people, see this Titans game and they go, well, what kind of team are you going to get? And they always hate when a team sits around. A team like the Packers, I think they're used to doing the sitting around for the first round. Aaron Rodgers expects to be, doing the first game off in the playoffs. But the Titans aren't necessarily that team who are always in this position. But they could be getting Derrick Henry back. And he passed contact tests this week to return to practice, and you could see him maybe making that, inserting himself into that game. Is that one of those things where you're like, now we're kind of got a good thing going on? You don't necessarily want to add him, or is it going to be totally necessary for them to win this game this weekend against the Bengals?
It's an advantage to have to get fresh at the end of the year. When you get that extra week off and you just don't have to go through all of that. And especially with a guy like Derrick Henry, who probably needs as much time as he possibly can to get back on the field. But for him to go into the playoffs and have that rest and be fresh, because those running backs, and they're built around one of the few teams that actually plays and has success with a more traditional NFL balanced attack. And I think he could only enhance what they have the ability to do. So I like the fact that Derrick Henry's coming back, but they're of all of the teams left in the playoffs. If the Bengals had to play a team, I mean, I think the Titans are the one that they probably would want to play, just because they feel like, okay, we got a shot at actually, winning this game.
Let me ask you this before we get out to the break here. Because right now everybody's interviewing for jobs. And if you're in the playoffs and you may necessarily see your team there in the playoffs, or you see the team being super successful, if you're a hot hand, and Brian Callahan is one of those guys, he's the offensive coordinator for the Bengals. He's been apparently interviewing for some jobs, but they've also got games to prep for. He says that interviewing for the head coaching positions doesn't take away from game prep at all. Do you believe that? I mean, I would have a hard time not having my head elsewhere.
I'll tell you, Oregon, I think it had an impact. I think it had an impact on the offensive coordinator at Oregon, and I think it had an impact with
Cristobal.
But I'm not buying that. Look, you have an opportunity to go be a head coach, and it's real. How you have the interview, sure. I'm sure you can carve out time. I don't know how they would do it. I guess on a day off, or maybe it's on a Zoom call, or it's on something. I don't know. But, yeah, you could probably have – because people have conversations throughout the day all the time. But if you're someone who's – you want to be prepared for this. You want to put your best foot forward.
You're prepping for the biggest game in Bengals the last 30 years. But also for him personally, come on, man. You want to be a head coach in the NFL.
It absolutely would be a distraction.
There's no way it couldn't be.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Let's take the break here. We'll come back. Got our two-minute drill around the corner to wrap things up. Throw a bunch of stories in at the end that we wanted to get to. We'll do that. So, and then coming up, you got the Jazz pregame on the Utah Jazz Radio Network here on the Zone Sports Network. Tim Lacombe, Jake Scott waiting in the wings. They're going to take over and walk you up to the Jazz Houston coverage tonight right here. Stay with us. More to go. Two-minute drills next on 97.5 1280 The Zone, the Zone Sports Network.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.